This is Future Tense for July 20th, 2010. I'm Jeff Horwich, in for John Moe. You hear a lot about the newspaper industry, but magazines are going through their own turmoil. Readership of the giants like Time and Newsweek has been sinking. Advertisers pulled back during the recession and killed off a lot of weaker titles. Then along comes the full-color, conveniently magazine-sized iPad, with the promise of a magazine renaissance. Wired sold more copies for the iPad in the first month than it did on the newsstand. The fashion magazine Viv is trading still photos for moving images, like those newspapers in Harry Potter. Glamour says so many advertisers wanted in on its new iPad app that it forced them to buy ads in the print version, too. This month's big iPad magazine launch is Popular Mechanics. With its emphasis on detailed diagrams and technology eye candy, seems like a natural fit. Deputy editor Jerry Balinson's especially proud of one article that continually refreshes itself with new data.
We have this earthquake module that shows seismic activity over the previous week in the United States. So every time you launch the app, it goes out and gets information from the United States Geological Survey and shows the seismic data for whatever the previous week happens to be and puts it onto this map, and you can sort of graphically see how deep the earthquake was and how large the magnitude of it was and where in the country it took place. So that's the kind of thing that we would write about, certainly in the magazine, but we'd never be able to present that much data.
Is this better than print for many of the kinds of things that Popular Mechanics wants to share with its readers?
Well, in some ways it is. So another kind of thing that we do that we were able to do in the iPad better than we could do in print is show people how to build or fix something. For instance, we have this project on building a workbench, and we have a nice diagram in print, and we have some how-to photos in print. But in the iPad, we were able to have a 3D model of the object, so you can turn it and look at it from every direction. We have an animation that displays the order in which parts are put together, and we have a lot more photos.
Balinson says his team wanted to keep the iPad version of Popular Mechanics recognizable to preserve the feel of the magazine readers love. But Pete Cashmore of the social media blog Mashable.com says that's precisely what's wrong with most iPad magazines released so far.
The big problem with these iPad magazines is that it's dealing with magazines in a very flat format where I read one page, then another page, then another page. And the web has kind of rewired that system whereby I can link you directly to an article that I find very, very interesting. So I think because iPad magazines break that link structure, they really need to figure out how they can recreate that so that people can have conversations around individual articles rather than trying to bundle up all these articles into a single magazine that you read from start to finish.
And then there's the money. Jacob Lewis is a veteran of the industry. He was managing editor at The New Yorker, and then he ran Portfolio Magazine. He says iPad magazines can revolutionize the medium, taking magazines to places we've only dreamed of, and that still won't fix the economics.
The problem for magazines now is not a consumer problem, so it's not about finding new ways or innovative ways to get more consumers because they have as many subscribers or oftentimes more subscribers as they did before. Their problem is an advertising one. You know, magazines are kind of, they're giant databases. The companies are giant databases that collect information on consumers. And they can use that information to sell it to advertisers. None of that currently exists with the iPad.
Lewis says it's still early. After all, the iPad's only been out 3 months. And he's right. Really, you know, I think we should give the iPad at least 6 months to revolutionize publishing as we know it. For Google, I guess words are not enough. Literally, words are not enough for them to help you find what you're looking for. You search for tiger, let's say, and all the computer brains in the world can't tell if you're really looking for pictures of fuzzy animals for your kids or transcripts of cell phone calls from a sex-addicted golfer. That's why Google just made a very interesting purchase to try to fix this problem, a company called MetaWeb. MetaWeb explains what they do this way. Imagine if every item on the internet had something like a barcode, a unique identifier that belonged only to it. Tiger the animal has one code, Tiger the golfer has another, Tiger Beat magazine, you get it. All these codes are categorized and related to one another, and it's constantly evolving, and I'll be honest here, I don't know if anybody quite knows where all this is going. But it's basically a master database for categorizing and labeling the entire world of information, with a system that transcends human languages and ultimately, basically allows Google's computers to read our minds. And I wonder if they know what I'm thinking right now. Until we're assigned a master barcode, we're online at futuretense.publicradio.org. I'm Jeff Horwich, in for John Moe. This is Future Tense.